Now you can begin.
I think it would be worthwhile and interesting if Joanne could sum up or make a few statements about the impact that certain people can have on the community, maybe as Lloyd and I did.
Good.
In the field of art.
Good. So this is Joanne Tanzer, Dr. Joanne Tanzer from San Diego State University, who's going to talk for Ilsa.
Well, I think the impact that Lloyd and Ilsa have made in our community is really evident in so many lives that have been touched by their strength and their vision. I think they have both of them have had a real feeling of making art a part of our lives, not separate from. It seems to me that the students that I have met that have been touched by them have a feeling about art that isn't a remote thing, and it isn't just
artificial.
Or part of just museum art. I feel that there are many, many, many people in both the art community and just the community itself who will respond quickly. Oh, I had Ilsa in class. She was my teacher, and she taught me so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because Ilsa has taught me.
Many of us are very proud of being able to say that.
That's right. That's right. And I was trying to think about Ilsa's techniques of teaching and how she made it very clear to the students what was positive and what was negative. I think many of us in our teaching work with the positive, but we don't always clearly state exactly why a certain thing is wrong and how it is wrong and how it's a negative position or negative attitude affects either mm-hmm. aesthetic awareness or even attitudinal things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just leafing through some photos that were in the file of Ilsa and Lloyd, and there were students who are of course, now far-flung. This was 20, they were from 25 years ago or 20-some years ago, and they're now in all phases of art. But I still think that if we were to interview each of those students, we would find people who would say, oh, yes, I well remember Mrs. Hirolko and the class and what I learned and how I now apply that information in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to pack together all the information that these two have brought to us in San Diego, but it's very much felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a standard of excellence that they have stood for.
It is.
You might say something about
Design Center.
Design Center.
I think to exemplify that was when they opened Design Center, the quality of work, not only national, local, but that which came from other parts of the world was the first quality that one can only see usually in very large museums.
You know, before we moved to this community, which is interesting, we were living in Idlewild. My husband is a teacher, too. And we were living in Idlewild, and a young couple that we admired very much said, well, there's only one real good place to go to shop in San Diego, and that's the Design Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before we knew Ilsa or anything about
mm-hmm.
The community. So that was the first place we went. And we found it there. It was,
mm-hmm.
Everything was, it was like a museum, but things were useful and
right.
practical, and you could purchase things or you could enjoy seeing things.
Mm-hmm. And you were very much assured that whatever you bought,
about Diane Powers and that would all
I
be.
Will. Mm-hmm. One thing you could always be sure of, if you were buying a gift there, it was the content was great, but also with the exterior. The wrapping paper coordinated with the beautiful little arrangements of flowers and ribbon and so forth. And I noticed that there was a strong carryover. Now, that hadn't happened before.
No.
Any place, even the best stores, didn't package so beautifully.
That's right.
And it carried over to Diane Powers, right. And we see that same impetus that Ilsa gave
that's
through
right.
an artistic package now being carried through by Diane Powers at Design Center
that's
there.
Right.
And the Bazar del Mundo.
Yes, Diane is, I think, one of the outstanding students of Ilsa's. Of course, there are many other outstanding students
mm-hmm.
that haven't come to the fore in a commercial way,
mm-hmm.
as Diane has, but her style is certainly reminiscent of the things that Ilsa enjoyed, celebration and
mm-hmm.
festivity and beautiful quality. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
a beautiful sense of, and I think the sense of fun. Now, that was something that Lloyd often brought forward in his discussion, too, was that that there should be the sense of living with fun and
mm-hmm.
not just having things austere and cold. Some people thought modern architecture had to be stiff and intellectual and terribly unlivable. But Lloyd often spoke of making life more pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, he was so in favor of the kinder path, the path that would walk between school and houses, that children could have a fun way to walk to work, to school, and not a stiff asphalt
mm-hmm.
road going down the hillside.
That's good.
They had many innovative ideas.
Yes, and I think the
other architects within the community
have enjoyed that mm-hmm. too and picked it up. But another thing that I'd like to mention about Elsa and Lloyd is that they have shared of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have used their home as a center, and they've invited students. I think of the dozens of classes of my students that I brought to Elsa's home when she was very busy and it wasn't convenient, but she would say, "Oh yes, bring your class." And I knew it wasn't easy to do it,
mm-hmm.
but some people could be marvelous artists but not be willing to share.
That's true.
And very often artists are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have been the opposite. They've wanted to reach out and draw the community to them
mm-hmm.
instead of cutting back
mm-hmm.
and holding off. So I feel it's been a great privilege to know both of them, and I think the whole community has benefited from it.
I think
press
so.
It down.
Well, before I press it down, may I thank you, Joanne. I'm so pleased that you could do this and that you suggested it, Ilse, because I think it adds a great deal that Ilse would never have told
No,
me.
She would never tell about herself.
Right. Now, Ilse, going back to, how do I have, oh, this that I have on this numbering is Joanne, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, we just finished with Joanne. Now we will go back. We were talking about Rita, your sister, and I was particularly interested in the house that Rita and Don, her husband, Don Keller, owned on Pennsylvania that Lloyd designed, and the interior decorating in that, which I thought was so outstanding. Could you
well,
tell me
the,
again?
Lloyd Rocco did three houses for my sister, Rita Keller.
Mm-hmm.
One was the first house that he built. That was in National City.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second house was in Pewter Ball. And then her third house and last house was on La Jolla Farms in La Jolla.
Oh, I see. It was Pewter Ball, not Pennsylvania. That's
uh-huh.
my error. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I remember so distinctly as the beautiful furnishings.
In Pewter Ball?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, yes, it had a beautiful view of the bay,
mm-hmm.
and it had, designed furniture.
Mm-hmm.
They were redwood, but a marvelous table that someone had made for her, a carpenter
mm-hmm.
had made for her. And then she had the Hans Wagner chairs.
Oh, yeah.
But you see, the room was so simple that it gave the furnishings an extra emphasis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very nice. She took quite a lot of that furniture to when she moved into the condominium on the fifth, sixth, seventh.
Upas Street.
Yes, Upas. Yes,
mm-hmm.
that was a stunning arrangement that she had there in that in her condominium there.
Yeah.
And she had gotten some things from the design center. I remember some beautiful ornamental tall things that were on the table. Remember?
Well, she did have a lot of things from design center that she
uh-huh.
bought.
She
chose through the years, and they all sort of were part of our lives.
Yeah.
She had a very handsome Herman Miller chair,
mm-hmm.
Herman Miller table
mm-hmm.
that must have been about 30 years old, and if it's still existing, those things become the antiques of the of our modern age.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. very true. Like the Eames chair, I mean, it's a classic.
That's right.
I mean, they
so
have,
the Ola Hans Wagner chair is, I
mm-hmm.
think, not as noticeable in its design as the Eames chair, but it
mm-hmm.
itself is
mm-hmm.
a classic
mm-hmm.
that will last
mm-hmm.
forever.
I bumped into her about a year ago in the gallery in Los Angeles.
Who?
Mrs. Eames.
Oh, you did?
Yes, uh-huh.
Did you know her, or did you just
Yes, I had known her, and she asked me, she said, "How is Ilse?" And Ilse Ruocco, does she still live in San Diego? I said, "Oh, of course she still lives in." They were down here for something at
uh-huh.
one time, and apparently they were involved with you in that particular thing. Was it something at the gallery? Do you remember at all?
I don't remember.
She's chubby little.
Yes, it's very
you don't remember
that she remained by
uh-huh.
name.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think probably you were the one that would be most likely to be remembered. because of Design Center, and you're involved with modern, beautiful, classical furniture.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I think so. But in this designing of this house that I remember on Tudor Ball, would you say that was the peak of Lloyd's creativity? I mean, he had really reached a great peak at that point, don't you think?
Well, every
which
house
did not diminish.
No, I think every house that he designed was entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely different,
mm-hmm.
because of the client to occupy and the area in which mm-hmm. it was to be
mm-hmm.
built.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The little La Mesa, the little house in National City was a simply concrete block house,
mm-hmm.
but. He always embraced the garden
mm-hmm.
with the house,
mm-hmm.
and he always embraced privacy for the house
yeah.
by walls or fences or hedges.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much part of Lloyd's
mm-hmm.
Philosophy.
Mm-hmm. I remember the house on Peter Ball of Rita's. There was this high wall, and then on top of the wall there were, I think, Eugenia trees or something. So in this patio, she had the maximum amount of privacy, and she gave this wonderful luncheon party I shall never forget, because she was a magnificent cook too.
Yeah.
How have you been on the cooking department? Are you as good as your sister?
Well, I'm not, and it's very interesting as I've grown older. It's not so much the cooking that I look at, but the nutritional value of
the
cooking.
I see, and beautifully presented as
yeah.
usual.
It was always beautifully presented, much more than the taste of to the palate was.
I don't know about that. I know it was beautifully presented. It tasted very good to me. Now, the other thing I want to get to then, Ilsa, is your early influences, your family, your parents. Can you tell me, how did they influence you, if they did?
Well, we had a very strong influence of honesty in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean just stealing.
No.
But that means the material.
Mm-hmm.
My father, his family were in the cabinet field, his grandfather,
mm-hmm.
in the building field. So,
the cabinet, you mean you're referring to furniture?
Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So, in early days, we had a Steinway piano that we bought, and we also had a Morris chair that he made
hmm.
in the Morris style.
Oh, wonderful.
You see, and so it gave you, we were very poor when we were here in America, when we lived here. So to buy a Steinway for us to take lessons on was very hard on my parents,
mm-hmm.
but it was a marvelous old Steinway. And that quality of something being so genuine and so good, I think left an imprint on
mm-hmm,
us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was very interested in landscaping. She lived in England for some years when she was 20, 21 years old, and she became very interested in the landscape, the English landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always a part of our lives, was the planting.
Mm-hmm.
Trees, fruit trees. I know how she tried to plant some of the fruit trees that grow in Europe over here in America, like cherries and apples
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles, which is most difficult. But that feeling was always a feeling of doing something in a beautiful way,
mm-hmm.
that your lives would be enriched and you would enjoy being there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your personal relationship with your father and your mother.
For good. They were good.
I'm
great. Now that I think of it, I feel very strongly about the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be the savior of many of our families if other families think that way
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
We help each other.
Right.
And see how you can build strength in the other person,
mm-hmm.
even if it doesn't build as much strength in you, but see that your children have that strength or your sisters get it through
mm-hmm.
your cooperation and thought.
Well, you have nieces and nephews, don't you?
Yes, I have, and that's what they say.
Uh-huh.
They say that I don't ever feel that I say, now this is going to be influencing you, you must do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, you influenced us so much
uh-huh.
in having things beautifully done and
mm-hmm.
And thinking of it being something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Good.
They really say that all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
Uh-huh. They say their life is
well,
entirely different.
Just as
and that's why I say, you shouldn't just reach for the unit you're working with. Reach for the whole unit of the family that you can influence and change and help grow better.
That's good. And you you did the same thing with your students, as Joanne brought out so very well, I thought.
Well, it's such fun to see. I probably wasn't so aware of it as it was happening, but I became more aware of it when I received letters from my students afterwards.
Sure.
Like 20 years later, they would write, we built this house, and we thought of the things you spoke about. Or, I can see still, but the reason I went to this place in Europe is because you mentioned it and thought a great deal about it. It's really true. I should get some of those letters out.
Oh, that would be nice. Well, you see, here I am after 42 years.
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
Remembering you? Of course, I've remembered you all through the years, fortunately, both of us living in San Diego. Now, your environment, how has your environment influenced you? I mean, is there anything in this environment that might have been different had you lived in another environment, say, up in Northern California or some other place? Your environment here, people-wise, climate-wise, any way you want to speak of it?
Well, of course, I think the climate and the trees that grow freely and the sunshine, I think all that affects your way you're going to live. I know our house in La Mesa we call the cave because Lloyd decided to dig out the side of the hill and to make walls which are made of
adobe, didn't he use
yes, it was sand and adobe. It was sort of a
mixed
mud
with
wall.
Cement.
Yes, and they were 24 inches thick.
Remember those walls very well. I remember the house. I just thought it was, oh, it was so exciting.
It really was a very exciting house.
And then the glass following the contour of those great granite rocks.
Yes.
Was that exciting?
Yes, it was. All those things were really quite adventurous for that time. But
I think some people thought Lloyd was just a little mad, and you were quite a little mad, too, to put up with such a house. But everybody who knew you well and felt of the same mind as you thought, was it a great experience?
And though time passes very quickly, and you go over that, and you go to the next thing, and, and the climate, and the sunshine, and the energy that your house should be receiving changes entirely. The picture of your house.
I think you and Lloyd were the first ones that I knew who used a lot of plants inside the house, too. And now, of course, it's just the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, after all these many years. And during the Victorian period, they, of course, had their ferns and things, but not to the extent and as effectively as you managed to use them. And you will always have. I noticed plants all around in that bouquet of roses against that yellow and red over there.
I love it.
Just beautiful, really. Well, now, I'd like to talk a little bit about your education, Ilsa, and also people that you became involved with, where you first went to school and where you have taught.
I had a nice high school teacher. I went to high school in National City, and now as I think of her, she was very encouraging to my art aesthetically, but she was not of the school that I am now.
No.
No. And
I'd be expecting a lot.
Well, it's really very astounding. I didn't know that she wasn't, but now I see that she wasn't. But she was a very fine teacher. Her name was Helen Wells. She lived in Ruralto and taught in National City.
I see.
Got her first teaching position. And then the other school that I think had a great influence on me was UCLA in Los Angeles. I just loved that school and loved the teachers that were there. We had a wonderful chairman of the department, Miss Sui. Louise Sui was her name.
Wasn't she a friend of Milton Eckley?
Yes, she was.
I met her once then. That's such an unusual name when Milton lived at Balboa Island during the war.
That's right. And the other one was an industrial design teacher. I mean industrial design that we think of it, not a woodwork. Her name was Anita Delano. She had studied at the Bauhaus in Germany. And many of her problems that she gave us were inspired by that. And she gave us a very modern outlook. But I don't think any of them probably gave us the outlook of the city planning or city as a whole, as my husband thought of a community, should be a part of a city plan.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that was strongest, one of his developments of thought,
mm-hmm.
the city itself and the community,
mm-hmm.
and then the house,
mm-hmm.
not just the house and the interior decoration. It all had to be combined together,
mm-hmm.
and the community should work together for a beautiful community that you
mm-hmm.
lived in. The house itself did not make it, and the interior decorating was not the end degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was the city itself that was important to
mm-hmm.
accomplish as a successful place for people to live in.
Did Lloyd ever speak much about the Brasilia in Brazil?
Well, no, he never did. He was more interested in the towns that Britain did
mm-hmm.
after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also interested in Corbusier's city that he planned in Chandigarh in
mm-hmm.
India,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than Brasilia. I think Brasilia had a too kind of a slick look to it.
Well, I quite agree. We were there about 3 years ago, and I took quite a lot of pictures of it. And you had a feeling that no one was there.
Well, that's it. It was
very sterile.
It was too slick, a modern
uh-huh.
slickness.
Yeah, it was quite sterile, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the problems, one thing that Lloyd would have done, had he been in charge, he would have planted. There was no planting.
Well...
And that, I think, added to its coldness and...
I think now we're more conscious of the environment as a
mm-hmm,
whole
mm-hmm.
and the relationship of the way we live, our
mm-hmm.
trees and our sunshine,
mm-hmm.
our energy.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we're on quite a wonderful era.
I think so, too.
All right, madam, what next?
Now, you didn't give me too much of the...
My
well,
education?
Your education. I know that you went on for another degree, didn't you, after your
AB? Yeah, that's right, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I got my bachelor's from UCLA,
uh-huh.
and there I met some of my very best friends, like Laura Anderson the Potter.
Oh, yeah.
We were very close friends for years, and Evans Ecke, another person that was very interested in the city itself and its
mm-hmm.
environment to the people that lived there.
Both became teachers, too.
Yeah, both became
mm-hmm.
teachers. In fact, both of them were valedictorians of their class in UCLA.
Ah.
And then we, all three of us, really decided, Laura, Evans, and myself, that we should get our master's. And we went to Columbia University and got our master's.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all decided that we should make a tour of Europe.
Good.
And which we did,
mm-hmm.
which rounded us up, I think, pretty well for teachers.
Yes. Now, when you started teaching at the State, was that after you came back from Europe or before you went to Europe?
After. In fact, it comes in rather odd, so
mm-hmm.
I don't think I mentioned it, but it's after I went to Europe.
Yes.
And had,
uh-huh.
had my master's
But you had
degree.
Been teaching at San Diego State before you went to Europe. Did you
yes.
get a sabbatical, or did
well,
you just
I've been,
take off?
Well, of course, I got the sabbatical. I went to Europe before I taught at UCLA, at the State College.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. And then, see, we took a sabbatical for a year, and we went around the world.
Uh-huh. But that's not when you got the master's, when you went around the world.
No.
I
okay.
see.
Uh-huh.
And, but then in 37, when I knew you, you had just come back from Europe. Was that a second trip to Europe?
Yes, it was.
It
I
was.
Remember my father
because
died in 1937,
yes, that's
and
right.
we decided to go to Europe.
Yes, because I remember when you came back, I remember you walking into the classroom the first day, and you had on this perfectly glorious hat that had grains of wheat. Do you remember that?
Well,
and
I
had never
remained, but remember that hat, so I remember it well myself.
I had not met you at that time,
oh,
and
hadn't.
I thought, who is that person? And I thought, a hat like that, oh, how gorgeous.
yeah.
So I promptly liked you from then on
uh-huh.
and had you as my teacher. But where did you find the hat, may I ask?
Now you mean?
Yes.
Well, I think we had the hat, and we had good, we had a wonderful, what would you call it, a hat trimmer in
uh-huh.
Westwood, Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
And we'd take our things, she worked for the movies.
Ah.
And if we wanted an interesting hat, we'd take our things to her, and she would wrap it up for us.
Well, I just thought anybody that wear a hat like that just had to be really a creative person. Now, the next thing, Ilse, about exhibitions. Have you done much by way of exhibition yourself?
But not really.
I know, because I know when you were, when we formed the Allied Artists Council and you were chairman of the craft group, you were more the inspiration for us. You gave everything you had to us rather than putting it into an object which you yourself could exhibit.
Yes, I love very much to put things together and get people together and show what they're doing than sit and do one a thing myself. Like,
but you can do it.
Well, yes, I took all those courses at college, and I can do it. But somehow I never did reach out that far to complete.
Well, you are the teacher personified. I mean, you give everything through your teaching.
Well, that's right.
I think that's right.
It's really funny how they all want to be jewelers or enamelers.
Yeah.
Or
and they something. Spend more time at their own work than they do at
like
teaching. They're not dedicated teachers.
I think she works too hard at enameling and then at teaching too.
You're spreading yourself a bit thin. You've got to almost
Is that on there?
Yes. You've got either got to be fish or fowl, one or the other, it seems to me, to do a really first-rate job. So I'm not criticizing any of my craftsmen teachers, because that would be unfair. Let me see. Then you have done a lot, though, by way of interior decorating.
Well, yes. I felt that was part of the work I did with my husband's house.
That's
the interiors.
In connection with the architecture, you coordinated the style of architecture or the thing that he was trying to create, you continued in the furnishing.
Yes, I wanted the house to represent good design inside as well as the shell of it.
And enhance his architectural concept,
yes.
Which I think you both did beautifully. You worked beautifully together.
Yes, we did.
Just marvelous. Well, I'm going to ask you this little question. Oh, first, I wanted to speak more of Laura Andresen and that relationship, because I remember she came down and taught a class in pottery just when the war began.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that class. It was a summer class with Laura, and it was such fun because the two of you worked well together. You were sort of almost learning from Laura yourself.
Well,
that
I wanted
summer.
To be a potter, too, just because I wanted to do things that Laura Andresen did. She was really sort of a leader in this field, but I did not have the patience nor the craft technique or the joy of working with clay as she did. Now she is still holding exhibit. They're asking her all over the United States. And maybe a pot that cost, she sold for $10 or $20, now sells for $280 or something.
Oh, I'm very well aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know
she just got through having an exhibit of pottery in La Jolla at Gallery 8.
Oh, yes, that's a fine little gallery.
I haven't been
you should go. Some of our young allied craftsmen, some of our really top ones, have some work there right now. And those two young women really know good crafts.
They do.
They have some of Martha's work, you know, the glassmaker, who now has Laura's old studio, her old classroom at UCLA. And Laura is next door, and she is under some sort of a grant for formulating new glazes for pottery. And I saw her just a year ago when I was up there, and she had us come in because, or maybe it was 2 years ago, time goes, it had to do with that pottery show that is traveling. It was put on by Scripps, and it's potters from 1885 to 1955. And by hook or crook, how I ever was invited to show in it, I don't know, but I was.
Was it just women?
No, it's both men and women. And
just
Laura
now
was in it. It's traveling. And so that's why I went up, was because they gave a big dinner party for all of the potters. And Al King was there, and Peter Volkus was invited but couldn't come. And, all of them. You would know all of them.
Laura was chosen as one of the potters to show her work in Washington by the vice president's wife chose her, and Miss Mundell, and she went to Washington and had her exhibit there, and also had dined at the Mundell.
Well, Laura is just fabulous.
Yes,
I mean,
she's 80
ago.
Years too. You see.
Well, I tell you, she's just remarkable, just a remarkable woman.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so are you.
Oh, well, I don't know. I think she has probably better health than I have.
She always was a very healthy person.
Well,
she never had any of the responsibilities that you've had. That
no, that's
helps a great
no.
deal.
And she has a very good Danish background.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
Andresen,
very true.
Yes. Well, I
know how that's spelled, A-N-D-R-E-N-D-R-E.
It's a name quite popular in Denmark.
Yes.
The son of Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see now. What would you consider the highlight, high points in your life, Elsa, as an artist, craftsman, interior decorator, wife?
Of seeing things or feeling things?
Something that really was a great experience in your life, or a great moment in your life.
Dear, I've had such great moments every day. I can't quite think of anything in particular. I think my years at UCLA were very inspiring and very happy ones, and contact with very wonderful people, both in the art field and the academic field. I can remember those days very strongly. And then